Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. We're in season 3, episode 11. I titled this episode Blessed by the Limits. What does that mean? Well, we're going to get into it after we go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Father God. I thank you right now for each and every listener. Thank you, Father, for doing the impossible in their life. Father, your word says that with men, this is impossible, but with you, all things are possible. Father God, I pray right now that this week you do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Father God, I thank you right now, Father, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I thank you for the hope that we have in you, the expectation of waiting, Father God, for you to do the thing that we have been praying for. Father, I thank you right now that you work behind the scenes, Father. I thank you for allowing us to never, ever know what you're doing, Father God. Thank you that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I thank you, Father, that we can't figure you out. Because if we could, we would not need you. And I thank you that we always need you. We are always to be dependent on you, Father God. Lord, never let us think that we can do anything that we're doing without you. Allow us to stay humble before you, before your almighty hand. Father, I thank you right now for your love. I thank you for your sovereignty and your grace. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. So, blessed by the limits. What do I mean by that? Well, before I get to that, I just want to say thank y'all so much. Y'all really, like, we're almost at 2,700 downloads. We were over 2,500. I know we were probably like at 2,550 maybe. Before episode 10, which had Adrian Holmes. I want to shout out my big sis, Adrian. Thank you so much for stopping through last week. That was so fun, and I really enjoyed that whole episode. That was a really good episode, and I want to thank you once again for coming through. Thank y'all for showing up like y'all have, because now we're at like 2,600 downloads, almost at 2,700. Yeah, we're at 2,661 now. Like, thanks a lot. Thank y'all so much. And if you haven't, like, subscribed to this podcast, if you hadn't, like, liked it, I need you to do that. I really need y'all to do that. Like, y'all are tuning in from all over the world. I see y'all. Y'all are tuning in from all over the world. The math ain't math. And when I'm looking at the followers, y'all need to start liking and subscribing and stuff. But single week, I really appreciate that. So, this title, Blessed by the Limits. This is what happened. I just want y'all to know that everything I talk about on here, the Lord already dealt with me about it behind closed doors. Like, he got in my behind. So I just want y'all to know, it's not like I'm saying this stuff because I'm sitting up here, you know, pointing my finger at y'all. No, I'm coming to y'all pleading to not make the mistakes I have done, which is not this time. It's not a mistake. I mean, it is. It's just, we just do things out of ignorance many times, and we don't know that we're doing it. And that's why we need the correction of the Holy Spirit. And he's always talking. The Lord is always talking to us through his Holy Spirit, but we're just not listening. We're not tuned in because we're distracted with social media. We're distracted with our phones, distracted by situations and circumstances going on around us, our family, friends, coworkers, jobs, whatever the case may be, we are distracted. So we don't hear the voice of the Lord. And basically, I know for me, it has been, listen, we got spring break next week, and I thank the Lord for a break of spring. I thank the Lord for spring break. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a teacher, I speak for all educators in a school system, wherever you are. That spring break hit right, don't it? It comes in just when, listen, like the song said, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. The same thing goes for spring break. And for those of you who feel like teachers have an easy job, have a cushy job, and why do we get summers off and everything like that, I just want you to know, God bless you. Because at the end of the day is going to end. I'm sorry, that's been going on social media, and it is so funny to me because I'm like, that is dumb, but whatever. It makes me laugh. I just want to say, God bless you. Bless your hearts. Until you have walked in the shoes of an educator, you don't know our struggle. You don't know what it's like to go to bed late worrying about your students because you don't know what kind of home life they're going to. You're thinking about what may be going on with them. You're neglecting your own family, your own home. Like, if y'all could see my house, it looked like a tornado ran through here. I have clothes all over my bed, clothes on top of the laundry, like the washing machine, dryer, clothes on top of the ironing board. I'm looking at the ironing board right now, looking at all the clothes. Vacuum cleaner out. Ain't nothing got back. There's not a bit of anything that has been vacuumed this weekend. I'm just trying to relax, okay? Like, it's like you go to work, lesson plans are due at 8 o'clock in the morning. You got to teach all day. Sometimes you don't even get a bathroom break. Like, you just don't. It's always easy for us to criticize what we don't know. And so for people who speak negatively of educators and feel like we don't do anything, remember COVID when you had your kids at your house all day. And not a teacher was in sight because they was in their house with their kids. So remember what it was like to try to teach your kids. Yeah. See how quickly we forget. It wasn't that long ago when we was all, this time 4 years ago, we was all on lockdown. Remember that. Okay. Remember that, because that could easily happen. Like, you don't know how, you just don't know. Let's not take educators for granted. So I had to get on my soapbox for a minute because people try to stress us out. We're not going to let them do that in 2024. Anyway, back to what I was saying. The Holy Spirit, he deals with me about where I am. And like I said, we operate out of ignorance, I believe, a lot of times when it comes to what we're doing. And we're not paying attention to the voice of the Lord because we're distracted. And yesterday, I love Saturday mornings because I get to sleep in, no alarm clock. Just wake up when your body wants to wake itself up. Well, when the Lord allows your body to wake up, it's a beautiful thing, you know, to sleep till 8 o'clock in the morning with no alarm. That's when my body naturally wakes up, is 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. It's like, so anything before then is just like, what is going on? So here's what was going on yesterday. I woke up and I started thanking the Lord for everything. But then I got more specific and started thanking him for the moments, the dark moments. And I think we get so caught up with praising God and thanking him for everything that went well. What about the things that didn't go well? What about the times when we were in the dark and couldn't even see our hand in front of us? Those moments, those seasons of darkness where we didn't know where the Lord was. We was looking for him. We couldn't find him anywhere. We felt like we was by ourselves. So I was thanking him for those moments. And it was like, as soon as I sat up, I started hearing the Holy Spirit just speak to me. And he said this one thing. He said several things to me concerning my situation, circumstances. One of the things he said, which this isn't what we're going to talk about, but he said a lot of people want to thank me, or a lot, not thank me, a lot of people want to get mad at me because what they're praying for hasn't gotten to them yet, but not realizing that they can't get what they're praying for until I know that they're not going to turn it into an idol. he said, if they got what they were praying for when they prayed for it, instead of waiting, they would forget about me. They would turn it into an idol. That spouse they've been waiting on, they can't have the spouse right now because they'll turn the spouse into an idol. They'll turn marriage into an idol. They'll turn the children that they've been praying for into an idol. They'll turn the house they've been praying for into an idol. They'll turn the car they've been waiting for into an idol. They'll turn the promotion they've been waiting for into an idol. They'll turn things, will turn things into idols. He said, that's why it's a waiting process. You have to be tested because anything I send to you has to be broken in order for my glory to be revealed in it. Oh, yeah, that was. And if you think about everything that you have, it was a process to get it. I'm sitting in a thing that was a process to get it. A house, you know, like a process. It was a process. It took a process for it to come to fruition. It took a process for me to get to the final stage, to sign the paperwork. It took a process for me to move in. It took a process to set everything up. Like, everything was a process. If I would have just got the house straight out of college when I prayed for it, child, let's not even talk about it. If I would have moved into my own apartment or my own house a year after I graduated from college, y'all, I'm not even going to talk about where I would be because I don't even know. I don't even know where I would be. That was a bad idea because when I first moved to my house at 34, that was like a little bit, I was still a little ratchet then. Okay. Like, I'm just being honest. I was a little ratchet still. Praise God for salvation and deliverance. Okay. But seriously, we have to wait now. And that's the other thing. Like, there has to be a brokenness there. The glory of God is in us. That's why we have a treasure in the earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessels. I wanted to say hidden because I've heard people say we have this treasure hidden in earth. It's not hidden. It's not hidden. It's not supposed to be hidden. How can a city set upon a hill be hidden? That's what the word said. We're going to put a light under a bushel so you can't see it. So we have a treasure in earthen vessels, not hidden, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, how does the treasure get found? Because the vessels are broken. There's got to be a breaking process for us. There has to be a breaking process as we're waiting for the things that we have prayed to God for. If you go back to Daniel 9, you'll see an interaction between Gabriel, the messenger of God, and Daniel. And Gabriel said, as soon as you set your heart to pray, the Lord sent me with the answer. Not as soon as you started praying, as soon as you set your heart, as soon as you postured your heart to pray, the answer was already on the way. That's in Daniel chapter 9. The waiting, and see, then in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had to wait an extended amount of time to get the answer that he was praying for because it got held up. A lot of times, the wait is allowing you to be broken because, thank you, Holy Spirit. See, this is what the stuff I be talking about, like this. I came on here to talk about something else and I'm going a different direction, but praise God. Like, thank you, Lord. The waiting process allows you to break. It allows you to go through a brokenness or a breaking. It allows you to go through a breaking because what you pray for is so large, you got to make room for it. You can't make room for it if you're not broken. Because the breaking allows there to be an expansion. Just like a vase, if you broke a vase, all like the pieces would still be there. You could put it back together, but it's a little, you can't get it exactly right. Now you got spaces in between. And like if you put water in it, the water's probably going to leak out because it's extra space in there. Oh, jeez. You got to be able to handle what you're praying for. You got to be able to handle what you're praying for. Okay. That's that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for. Okay. Now, this is the other thing. I'm telling you, he told me a lot of stuff yesterday. But this thing right here, he said, as soon as I set up, he said this. He said a lot of people, because this happened right after I was thanking him for the dark season. He said a lot of people want to thank me for the overflow, but they don't want to thank me for the limits. They don't want to thank me for the limitations I set up, for the restrictions I set up for them. Let's just sit on that for a minute. You don't want to thank God for the limitations that he put on your life. Because guess what? We're humans. We don't like people to tell us what to do. We grown, right? We grown. We got to put the extra grown on there to emphasize how grown we are. God does not care. Let me tell you something. God don't care. You his child. Just like your mama. I don't care about what everybody else doing. You my child. Listen, I'm going to back this up with scripture. Now, we know about the loaves and the fish. I'm not going to the, well, was it fish or fishes? I'm not looking it up right now. I think it was the loaves and the fish. Was it fishes? Was it different types of fish? That's why they call it fishes? Maybe it's a little kid that said it. I just say loaves and the fish. We always talk about the loaves and the fish and how there was an overflow. It was so much that there were 12 baskets left over, one for each disciple. How many of y'all have heard that preached? A lot. Yep. A lot. And I just want to be clear. Like, I heard it today in Sunday school. I just wanted to be clear. Just because you read a biblical account, a historical account from the Bible, we tend to get familiar with it. And so it's like, yeah, I read that, you know, go read it again. You're going to see something different. Go read it again. You're going to see something different because the word of God is alive. The word of God is alive. I promise you, if you go back and read it again, you're going to see something different. You're going to see more than just it's 12 baskets for each disciple. You're going to see more than just why were there 3 loaves and 2 fish? You're going to see, you know, like you're going to see more. You're going to see more. And not only that it wasn't done just one time. There was one time it was with 5,000 men. The second time it was with 4,000 men. See, bet y'all, a lot of y'all didn't know that. Just saying, go and read it. To be honest, it don't even matter which account you read. Go read both of them. You're going to see something different. I promise you're going to see something different. So we like to talk about that. But we don't like to talk about is how the Lord had to put a cap on the children of Israel when it came to picking up this manna. Did y'all know about that? See, let's go on over. Go to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. It says, I'm reading from the King James. It says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. In the New Living Translation, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether they will follow my instructions, whether or not they will follow my instructions. I give a test to my kids, to my students at the second day of school. I give him a test. I tell him, all right, now notice, it's the second day of school. I do this, we have block scheduling, so each semester we get a new set of kids. So we have fall semester kids and then spring semester kids. So the second day of each semester, I give them the follow directions test. And this test says, number one, read all the instructions. Well, they're supposed to read all of the instructions, because when they get to the bottom, it says, when you have read this instruction, write your name at the top of the paper and put your pencil down. But as they are reading the instructions, like it's giving it to them in steps. Like, number one, read all the instructions. Two, do this and this and this. Three, do this and this and this. But they're neglecting the fact that number one said to only read the instructions. It just said read the instructions. It never said read the instructions and do everything that it says do as you're reading. It never said that. These children will sit in my class and start counting to 100 out loud. They'll say, I'm the greatest person in the world. I think that's number 19. They'll say, they'll count backwards real fast. They'll just say, woo, you know, like doing dumb stuff. And then when they get to the end of it, they go, oh. And I time them too. I just sit there and watch them. I always have a small group. I won't even say a group. Maybe per class, I have 2 to 3 students who actually do what the instructions say. They read the instructions, write their name at the top of the paper, and put their pencil down. And they're just sitting there watching their classmates like, y'all do not follow directions. And that, I use that as a segue to tell them, if you don't follow directions in my class, you're going to fail. And it's as simple as that. And every semester around this time, because we just, I'm going to have to give out this declaration, this message this week. Y'all have played around and now we're at spring break time. And guess what? Some of y'all are failing my class because you did not follow instructions. I have to tell them that. And I tie life lessons to that. I tell them following directions is not just for my classroom. It's not just for your classes this semester. It's not just for school. Following directions is a life skill. Because if you don't follow directions, you're going to not only kill yourself or like, and when I say, I don't say kill yourself, I mean like you're going to hurt yourself or get somebody else hurt in your foolishness of not following directions, like driving a car. If you don't follow the directions when you're driving a car, driving and operating a vehicle, you're going to hurt yourself or someone else, and it can be really bad. It can be really bad. It's that serious. So how do you learn how to follow directions? You start here in the classroom. If you can't follow directions in my classroom, you're not going to follow directions when you graduate. You're going to do whatever you want to do, and you're going to mess up yourself and everybody else. And I give it to them raw like that. You have to. You have to tell. I mean, these are almost adults. These are almost adults. And you have to be honest with them, because a lot of people aren't. They're not getting it from anywhere else. And I feel like it's my responsibility to tell them. So and you know what? And every single year, every single semester, I have kids come back to my classroom and tell me thank you. They say, Ms. Cooper, you were right. You were right about everything. And I just sit there like, you know, but it's like, why do you have to go through that? But that's just, we're no different. We're adults still not following directions. The Holy Spirit say, don't go left. And guess where we going? We going left full throttle. We going supercharged up. Holy Spirit say, make a right right here. No, I think I'm going to keep going straight. Go off a cliff. What? And it doesn't have to come to that. But we just have it so innate in us, that we want to do what we want to do, and nobody's going to tell us any different. And that's the same thing that we see in Exodus chapter 16. See, this is why a lot of people don't want to talk about it, because we have to look at ourselves. A lot of people want to look at these children, look at the children of Israel, and just like, look at how they was treated. Look how they was acting. We act the same way. We do the same thing. We do. We're just as disobedient, if not more, than they were. It's just that our disobedience ain't recorded in a book. Whoop. Well, that came out of nowhere. Our disobedience just didn't record it. I tell my kids all the time, during that first couple of weeks of school, when we're going over rules and procedures and stuff, and we get to the whole cell phone usage and recording, the recording thing. And I tell them, I said, let me tell y'all something. Y'all post every single thing on social media for why. Why do y'all do that? Everybody doesn't need to know what you're doing. First of all, nobody really cares. Second of all, why? Why would you do that? Why would you do it? I said, see, y'all have, and I tell them, like, y'all feel like everybody needs to know what you're doing. So, because y'all are trying to rack up likes and try to get people to get their attention and stuff. I said, let me tell y'all something. Y'all gonna mess yourselves up. And look in the newspaper, look at nationwide. Kids recording other kids fighting, kids getting locked up for recording minors. You know, because that you're not supposed to do that. And that's what I tell them. I say, it's a law. Like, you can't record minors. If you're 17 and you're recording 16-year-olds fighting, you can get locked up by their parents. Their parents can charge you because you're recording minors without their permission. Like, y'all, I'm like, y'all better wake up and know the law. Like that, but that's because y'all have to post every single thing that y'all do. And I told them, I say, then you have cases where students recorded stuff and posted it to their social media, and now they're trying to get a college scholarship, and the scholarship committee looks at their social media accounts and go, nope, we don't want you here. Messing up your future just because I just got to upload this. I thank God that I was born in 1986. I went through my whole teenage life and all of college without social media. Granted, Facebook was around, but it was not the way it is now. I thank God that we had flip phones and T9 texting, and you better not text nobody before 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because that was going to be charges. Don't call me before 9 p.m. Call me on the house phone, because if you call me before 9 p.m., that's minutes. I miss those days so much. But seriously, I tell them that. I said, because it's like, you have to follow directions. The Lord fed the children of Israel manna from heaven. Oh, not melodies from heaven. I want to sing that song so bad. Rain down on me. I'm going to have to listen to that when I get off. Take me in your arms and hold me close. I know y'all. Rain. Okay, all right. I'm sorry. It's in my head now. But they had manna come down from heaven. And let me tell you, the Lord said he was going to give them flesh to eat in the evening. They were going to get quail in the evening. But in the morning time, during the day, they were going to have manna. And he said in verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoar frost on the ground. Verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. They didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did sow and gather, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So it says in verse 17, so the people of Israel, and this is New Living Translation. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. When they say gathered a lot and only a little, they gathered according to the people, the number of people that were in the tents. So some people had more people in their tents than others. So that's what that means. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Always just enough. Just, we have to know that sometimes we're going to be in a season of overflow, overabundance, but then we're going to have seasons where we have just enough. I'm in a just enough season. I'm not lacking. I have just enough. It may be some lack in my bank account right now, but hey, you know what? It's just enough. I have just enough because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's a promise. So I have just enough. So you may be in an overflow season or you may be in a just enough season. But either way, we got to know both. The Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state that I'm in. I have learned to be abased and how to abound. I know how to have just enough and I know how to have more than enough. It just depends on what season I'm in. But guess what? The Lord provided it to me and he gave me exactly what I needed for that time. We don't want to hear that. I don't know why we believe as Christians we're supposed to always have over more than enough. That's not realistic. It's really not realistic. Because how is it, like, you got to understand, there are laws in the earth realm. There are laws in the earth realm. Jesus obeyed the laws of the earth realm, even though he was God, or he is God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh when he was living on earth. You know what I mean? So he obeyed the laws of the earth realm. However, sometimes he would transcend those laws, like walking on water. You don't go out to the ocean thinking you're going to walk on water. Jesus did that because he was God. He would transcend those laws to show his deity, show that he was God in the flesh. But for the most part, he obeyed the laws. He was obedient to death, even death on the cross. That is a law because all of us are not, listen, all of us are leaving out of here one way. And that's through death. I don't know there are many ways, but that's something that comes for everybody because we're human beings. We only have a short amount of time on earth. Sometimes I do believe our life extension happens depending on how we treat our bodies. We can shorten our life. I definitely know that. I've seen that happen. But I do believe we can extend our lives too with what we eat. How, you know, physical activity and things of that nature. But for the most part, in any case, we leave out of this world through death. Okay. Even when Jesus comes back to crack the sky, in order to receive our glorified body, this one has to die. So, you know, because we're not going to heaven. I wouldn't want to go to heaven in this flesh. Like, this flesh has stretch marks, you know, my little tiger stripes. I want to know what it's like to have no tiger stripes. You know, I want a glorified body. That's what I want. I would like that. You know, just a body that you don't need any sleep. You don't need any food. Like, can you imagine that? Anyway, getting sidetracked with thinking about the glorified body. But anyway, so there are rules. To even in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season. There are seasons that operate this earth realm, winter, spring, summer, fall, but there are also spiritual seasons as well. So you can be, and here's the thing, the spiritual season and the earth season, or the earth realm season, don't necessarily have to coincide, because you can have an overabundance physical. You can have a physical overabundance and have a spiritual lack. That's your, or just enough season. And vice versa. You could be overflowing spiritually, but physically it looks like just enough. So, y'all, I don't know where that came from. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay, don't ask me, because I didn't go to theologian school, whatever it's called. I didn't go to that school. I went to other schools. So it's like, as believers, especially in this generation of having more, having abundance and stuff, like, we got to stop. That's why people don't want to come to church, because y'all are lying. Y'all lying to these people. Y'all deceiving and manipulating people into thinking they gonna have everything all the time. No, you're not. You're not. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you how real this is. I'm gonna be completely transparent in this moment. I hadn't told anybody. The only people who know how real this is my sister and my mama. They're the only people. I don't even think my close friends understand how this is going right now for me. When I lived with my parents until I was 34 years old. That's when I bought my house. I moved into my house. Closing date was September 4, 2020. Okay. I live with my parents. My bank account never hit below $200. It never hit below. To be honest, I don't even think it got that low. I always had money. I never went without money except for in college. That's a whole different story. College is a different, that's just different. Because in college, actually, the lowest I got in college was $8 in checking and $6 in savings. Or $6 in checking, $8 in savings. One or the other. And I still had food. I still had everything I needed. Okay? But technically, in college, I was still under the care of my parents. When I moved out from my parents' house, I was working where I am now as a teacher, and I had a part-time job. I quit my part-time job in 2021 because I was going into being a full-time, well, not full-time. I was going to have my own classroom for the first time ever as a general ed teacher. I had been a special education teacher for like 5 years, and then I was switching over to do what my degree was, is teach English. And I quit my part-time job so I could focus on doing that. Like, I was like, I just want to come straight home from work and, you know, just relax. You know, and if I need to stay to work to do lesson plans and stuff, stay to work and do lesson plans. But then I want to come home and just take care of my stuff. And that's fine. But what I didn't take into account was the funds were going to run out. Because, see, I still had a little bit of money left over from school. And I was just thinking, you know, I'm good. No, stuff started drying up and I didn't see it coming. I wasn't living beneath my means. Of course not. Because guess what? Homegirl realized as soon as I moved out the house, oh, this is real deal Holyfield stuff. I got to like take care of everything. So no more trips, no more road trips, no more trips to Jacksonville to taste their Brazil and Cheesecake Factory. I cut everything out. I even got locks. So I wouldn't have to spend money on product for my hair. You know, like, I just let my loctician take care of my hair. I cut stuff out. Okay? Y'all? Holy Spirit showed me this like a couple of months ago. I said it was me. It was me. Because, look, I was like, dog. So December 2021 is when I first went into the negative. I first went into the red. And I said, where is my money? Oh, and by this time, I got a dog, too. So I was like, where's my money? Why I don't have no money? So, you know, of course, stuff start going wrong. We just start rebuking the devil and start trying to cast the devil out like it's his fault. He didn't have nothing to do with that. It's like, he's sitting there looking at me like, I didn't do it this time. Not this time. You know, it was me. Because nobody told me to quit that job. I didn't pray about that. I just took it upon myself. I'm quit. And I'm going to tell you, the deficit has always been $200. You want to know where that that missing $200 has come from? That was the money that I would have had I would have kept working at the night school at that time. I'm back at the night school now, but at that time I just quit because I was like, I'm tired of working two jobs. Like, I don't want to work two jobs. Y'all. And I'm like, why am I always negative $200-something? And it's because that was the money that I would have made. Of course, I would have had more money than that, but that's the money that would have been made at the night school that I quit. Nobody told me to do that. No one told me to do that. If I'd have kept working at that job, I wouldn't be having a financial problem right now. Not following directions. This is where it gets you. And y'all, ever since December 2021, I have been in the red every month, sitting here like, and I just was like, well, this is just the season I'm going through. The Lord got me going through. No, it's my fault. Now, he's using this to teach me how to handle my finances better. He's using this to teach me all of these lessons. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I would have had money in my account, would have had no financial problem, all these lessons that I picked up from December 2021 to March 2024, dog, that sounds like a long time. It has been a long time. It's almost 3 years. I mean, but all of the lessons that I have gotten and have been schooled through, like, I wouldn't have gotten these lessons had I would have had money. I wouldn't have grown closer to the Lord had I would have had money. And I'm going to tell you this right now. No money, but never a lack of food, never a lack of anything that I needed. He's always provided. Every single time he came through with something. One time I didn't have any money last year. It was the beginning of last year. I didn't have any money. Of course, just like, okay, I'm in the red again. Somebody cut my grass. And it was so funny how it happened because my Wi-Fi line got cut. I think my dog ate the corn. I don't know what she did. Anyway, the Wi-Fi was out at my house. So my Ring alarms weren't on. And the day my Ring alarms went out is the day somebody came and cut my grass. I still to this day don't know who did it. I can't explain. It's little things like that have been going on this entire time. I have seen the Lord show up for me like never before. And I just give him all the glory and honor and praise. And when the Holy Spirit was telling me this yesterday, the stuff that he was telling me, he was saying like, if you don't go through the just enough seasons, how are you going to appreciate the overabundant seasons? How are you going to realize you really don't deserve anything that you have? It's only because of God. When I tell you the things, I could point to everything in my house and say that right there is because of the Lord. That over there, I shouldn't even have that right there. I point at the whole refrigerator because there's no way I should have any food in the refrigerator. There's no way I should have any snacks in my pantry. No way. The Lord has used people, one person in particular, every single time shows up. Every single time. And I'm so grateful. I am so grateful for the obedience of these people in my life who have blessed me. More than I am grateful. I'm grateful. And to be honest, I kind of like it here now. Because like at the beginning of this thing, I thought it was gonna be over with like after 2 weeks. I thought it was gonna be over with after 2 weeks, like, oh, this is gonna be over with. Nah. It went on a little bit longer than I thought. I never would have thought it would have been this long. But you know what? I'm grateful because the Lord takes care of me. I'm his daughter. That's why I love that song, Jaira, so much, because it doesn't matter what you're going through. That whole song is a blessing. Like, if he dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more will he clothe you? If he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? My Heavenly Father is not going to have me out here looking busted and disgusted. Now, there are some things that I had to go without. Like my eyebrows. Child, these things are so rough. Woo! Once in a while, I can go get them done. And I thank the Lord so much when I can. Because these things right here is so busted, looking like little caterpillars. And, you know, it's some other things that I have to go without sometimes that I'm used to having all the time. I'm used to going, just getting up and going and doing. I've had to go, like, these feet and these hands. Oh, my gosh. I was watching a video of myself on Facebook, like, from 2021. And I said, man, look at my nails. They were my actual nails. My nails grow pretty long if I let them. But I get the acrylic over them in designs and stuff. And I was like, look at my nails. I was like, oh, my gosh. I remember when I used to get my nails done. I still remember when the flow of money was drying up. I still remember that. Because I remember the last time I went to go get my nails done, and I said, this is going to be it. After this, ain't no more. I don't know when I'm going to get my nails done again, but can't do it no more. Not for a while. I had to cut it out. I had my own nail tech and stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it was like, I had to get to the point where I was like, okay, now, Stephanie, do you want to get your nails done, or do you need food in your house? Do you want to get your nails done, or you want to pay this water bill? When it's like, you, nails ain't important. Eyebrows ain't important no more. Feet, I can do my own feet. And to be honest, I do a pretty good job doing my own feet. I just got to have the time to do it. You know? So it's like, I've learned how to become a survivor. Like, I've learned how, you know how many different ways you could cook chicken? You can cook chicken several thousand different ways. Guess what? I done found all of them. Okay? I learned to stop throwing food away, because I would get food from the store and it would sit in my refrigerator because I'm very busy. I sometimes don't get home till almost 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and then it's too late to eat. I just go to bed. So the food sitting in there for days without me cooking it, I throw in the trash. Not no more. Guess what? I buy from the store. I'm cooking it that night. I don't care. And I'm eating it every single day. I will eat it until there's no more grain of rice. No more drop of juice from anything. Everything is getting. Because who got money to throw food away? I said, I don't know what in the world the next season has in store for me. But I tell you what. Your girl right here know how to cook some. I can make some stuff up out that pantry. What we got in here? Popcorn. We got some cheese. And we got some spaghetti. I'll figure it out. Oh, my gosh. Like, it's the just enough season. It's the season where you got those limits put on you, where you figure out who you really are. That's where your character develops right there, because you don't have, let's say, finances, like I'm going with finances. You don't have the financial resources to just get up and go and do what you want. You're capped out. And that's what the Lord was doing with the children of Israel. He said, do not get more than you need. You know what happened if they got more than they needed? In verse 19, it says, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning, notwithstanding they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was very wroth with them. Moses said, don't keep any of it until the morning. They were trying to hoard it. The Lord said, get just what you need for that day. Every morning you come. Woo, that's why I said his mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. Great is his faithfulness in Lamentations 3:22-23. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning they had fresh manna. They had fresh manna every single day. The Lord provided. He loads us. He loads us up daily with benefits. Every day we got benefits that load. A load is heavy. That means we have a load of benefits every single day that he gives us. And it's fresh. It's new every single morning. Every single morning. If the Lord makes a new sunrise every single day and a new sunset every single day, why would you not expect him to give you new mercies every morning? Why would you expect him not to give you new, to load you up daily with benefits? Why? Why would you expect anything less? Well, guess what? They did not trust him. So some of them tried to hide the manna. They were trying to hoard it. And you got to understand, they had a slave mentality. They came from Egypt where they were slaves. I'm pretty sure there were times where they had to go without and they didn't know when the next meal was coming. I'm pretty sure. And so they were still doing it. And that's what the Lord was trying to break off. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord was trying to break off of them that slave mentality of we don't have enough, so we got to just store up what we can. That whole hoarding thing, that's a spirit. That hoarder spirit, that's a nasty spirit. That's why whenever I can, I throw stuff out. I get rid of clothes. When was the last time I wore that? 1998. Get it out of my closet. You know, like whatever it is. If I hadn't worn it in like 2 years, I throw it out. I give it to somebody. It's got to get out of my house. Because why am I keeping it? If I can't fit it anymore, and that is so hard when, because you have the hopes of getting back into those good fitting jeans. No, I'm going to lose the weight and get in the jean. Oh, baby girl, just let them go. Like Elsa said, let it go. Let it go. Just go ahead and put them jeans. You're going to find another nice pair of jeans that fit you just right like those pair did. But if you're not doing anything to get the weight off, you're going to have to let them go. And I'm talking to myself. I am baby girl. I'm going to have to let them jeans go. Oh my gosh, y'all. So Moses told him in verse 19, New Living Translation. Then Moses said, do not keep any of it until morning. Verse 20 said, but some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. And the Lord told him the day before Sabbath, gather twice as much. So, because there's nothing going to come out on Sabbath. That's your day of rest. Some of them didn't listen to that. And so they didn't get twice as much. They got just enough for that day. So when the Sabbath came, they went out there looking for food and they didn't have none. And the Lord... And the Lord was like, how long, the Lord said unto Moses in verse 28, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? The Lord puts a cap on us. He limits us. We go through that just enough season because he wants to trust. He wants to see if he could trust us with the overflow. Because if you won't follow directions in the just enough season, you're definitely going to forget the Lord in your overflow season. You're definitely going to forget the Lord when you get them kids that you've been praying for 20 years. You're definitely going to forget the Lord when he finally releases the financial miracle that you needed in your life. You're definitely going to forget the Lord when your husband comes, when your wife comes, when that promotion comes, when that car pulls up in that garage of the house that you was praying for. Like, you're going to forget the Lord. And that's the thing that he said not to do. In Deuteronomy, I can't remember what chapter, he said, and when you come into... now I got to find it. Hold on. This happens every time because I really was not planning on heading this way. Hold on. He said, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I had a feeling it was Deuteronomy chapter 8, but I didn't want to say it. Let's see. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when you have eaten and art full, and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And you say in your heart, my power and my might, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that give thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto his fathers, as unto your fathers, as it is this day. That's why we go through these seasons of just enough. It's to keep us humble. It's to keep us true to his word. The same posture that you were in before you get the blessing is the same posture you need to be in after you get the blessing. If you was praying every single day, twice a day for the blessing, you need to be praying more than that after you get it. You need to be praying for the wisdom of how to take care of it. You need to be praying for the wisdom of how to keep it. You need to be praying for the wisdom of how to utilize it effectively for the kingdom of God. But see, a lot of times we don't do that. A lot of times we get the thing we were praying, thank you, Lord, and just run off somewhere. Look at the 10 lepers. They all were cleansed, but only one was made whole because he came back to Jesus and told him, thank you. The other nine, the 90% of them, were only cleansed. You know what that tells me? They were going to get something again. They're going to get sick again. Not that the one who came back wasn't going to get sick, but he was made whole. The other nine were just cleansed. That means they could come back. He was made whole. He was made complete because he came back to the Lord. He remembered the Lord, his God. He remembered Jesus. He just came back to say, thank you. I'm thinking it's Psalm 103, but it is. Okay. Says Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I love that verse. You want to know why the Bible tells us so many times not to forget the Lord? Because we're going to forget the Lord. There's a good chance we're going to forget the Lord. When we get the stuff that we've been praying for, it's a good chance we'll forget, because we're going to get too busy trying to take care of it. We're going to get busy trying to keep up with it. We're going to be paying it attention. And that's why the Lord is like, that's why he takes us through these wilderness seasons. That's why he takes us through these times where we don't have anything to distract us, like money, like a spouse, like children, like a home to keep up with. Like this, let me tell y'all something. I can't stay in my house looking like this. But you know what? I got a job. I got two jobs. I'm doing a podcast. This is hard. It's hard trying to keep up with this. And this is just a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. I wanted a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. I praise God. He gave me just what I needed. If the Lord would have gave me a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, I don't even want to know where I would be right now. I tell you right now, what that third bedroom would be so, it, let me tell you, it would have had nothing but clothes in there. All my clothes would be out of my closet on a bed in the third bedroom. It would really be like that. None of the clothes would ever be put on. I'm pulling clothes off the ironing board now and off the washing machine and dryer, just putting them on and going about my business. Like, don't judge me, y'all. Don't judge me. But seriously, the Lord knows exactly what we need. We just have to trust him. I got to get off of here, y'all. I got to get off of here because the Lord told me to wake up at 4:00 in the morning. And guess what your girl been doing? Waking up at 4:30. And that's what he talked about too yesterday. He said, you sit here going to get fast food in the morning for breakfast, talking about you don't have enough time. You have enough time if you would wake up at 4:00, like I told you months ago. Oh, yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. So I got to go to bed early to make sure I'm getting enough rest so I can wake up at 4:00 in the morning. All right, y'all. I hope y'all have a great week. And I will talk to y'all later. Y'all make sure y'all like, y'all share, subscribe to this podcast. Please make sure you share it. And you know what? I forgot to mention to y'all. I've been forgetting to say this like the past couple of episodes. If y'all have any questions for me or anything like that, you can always email me your questions. Or if you just want to say, hey, you can always email me at blessedisshethatbelieved@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, TikTok. You can find me all over the place. So just shoot me a message or something. Just like, hey, girl, you crazy. Like, hey, thank you. I know. So just y'all can reach out to me anytime. Okay. I hope y'all have a great week. I love y'all. Bye.